The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And the second half of the program is underway. We've had a busy week. It's only Wednesday. We're at the midpoint of the week, literally. And we heard Bill Hancock during the break there coming with us on Monday talking about possible expansion. You heard Nick Saban yesterday, not in favor of it. Kirby Smart today, who is. And now the man, this next guest, maybe the most important one we've had all week, because he and his colleague Stuart Mandel reporting today at The Athletic that expansion could be here sooner than you think or sooner than everybody says. Who is that man making all this news? He is Andy Staples joining us right now. Andy, thank you. And where are we right now based on your reporting? I'm starting to get pretty fired up that this may be close. What's going on?
I was laughing listening to the Bill Hancock clips because you have to kind of parse Bill Hancock. He said, I told a reporter the other day that there won't be a new format this year and there won't be a new format next year. Well, he didn't say anything about the following year. And interestingly enough, the following year is the start of a new rotation for the semifinal bowl. So, I mean, if I was going to rip up a contract and maybe start anew, that might be an appropriate time to do it.
And that seems to be what you and Stuart are portending today. So based on many people that you talked to, how did you come to the conclusion of your article today?
Well, it's interesting because I'd gotten a text a few months ago from an athletic director who said, now bear with me, 12 teams, and then gave me kind of a layout of how that would work. And I'm like, that's too many. Nobody's going to go for that. And then when I saw that thing in the release the other day, when the press release for the college football playoff said they're looking at 6 and 8 and 10 and 12 and 16, I was like, oh my gosh, that person wasn't saying this is what I want. They were trying to tip me off. And I think that's the more people we talk to, the more sense we got that it's not just, oh, if they expand, it's going to go to 8. It's they really want to look at the different possibilities. And there's no guarantee that it goes to 12. And 16 still feels really big to me. But they're going to talk about all of them because this, and it's interesting. I feel like we've got some Stockholm syndrome from the previous, 100 years of college football where change happened at a glacial pace and nobody ever wanted to rock the boat. These guys are looking at it like, okay, we did this system in 2014. Everybody already hates it. If we're going to change it, can we not be back doing it again in 7 years? Let's do something that'll have some legs. So I think that's what they're looking at is, can they come up with a format that everybody isn't going to want to scrap in 5 years?
So, Andy, assuming that 12 is the number, and that seems to be what some people think, how does that work?
Well, a 12 would work like this. You'd have, an opening round of games. So you'd have 12 play 5 and 11 play 6 and 10 play 7 and 8 plays 9. And the higher-seeded team would be at home, and then that would feed into the group of teams that have byes. It'd be very similar to the NFL playoffs of the past, bunch of years before they added the teams this past year. And so you'd have your four teams sitting there with byes, and those teams would feed in, and then they'd play, and the four teams with byes would also be hosting at home. And then I don't know what happens at the semifinals. I think the plan would still be play them at bowls and then play a neutral site championship game. If it were up to me, I would play on campus through the semifinals, and the national championship game would be the Rose Bowl because that's the only bowl anybody actually cares about. So you make the game in Pasadena the national championship game. Pasadena becomes football's Omaha, and you just call it the Rose Bowl because people love playing in the Rose Bowl. And then the other bowls, well, they deal with it.
Yeah, but then the Big Ten, the Pac-12 wouldn't get that 4 o'clock start on New Year's Day. They probably turn that down just to keep it where they are, wouldn't you think?
I don't know that they're in a position to do that. Plus, they're the ones that need more spots more than any other Power Five league. I mean, the Big 12 does too. But Paul, this one of the clips from Bill was saying, you know, they started talking about this a while ago. They actually started talking about this in after the 2018 season. Remember what happened with the rankings at the end of that year? Remember how Georgia was above Ohio State? We'd spent the entire previous night, you know, one, banging on Kirby Smart for putting Justin Fields in for the fake punt, but two, saying, oh, it's either Ohio State or, you know, Oklahoma in that final spot, or maybe it was Ohio State or Notre Dame. I'm blanking on the year. I think it was Ohio State or Notre Dame. But the fact of the matter was, Georgia ended up being ahead of Ohio State, and the people in the Big Ten were like, whoa, that's so definitely would have been left out no matter what. And that's the part where they realize, okay, something's up here. As far as the Pac-12 goes, they should have been pushing for this years ago. Larry Scott kind of did it too little too late, but that's something they should have done, because think about how we feel about the Pac-12. You know, as soon as they look, like in 2019, Oregon loses to Auburn in week one. Oh, you're out, done. Pac-12's over. No chance of the playoff. You can't have that. You can't tell everybody west of the Rockies, your season's done. You're playing for nothing now. It's bad business. So they're trying to figure out a way to get everybody more involved. And if you have 12, you're getting a lot of people involved. Now, it does change things to the regular season. It does take away somewhat of a sense of urgency. But I would argue that it creates more meaningful games at the end of the season for more teams, because they are potentially in the playoff. It also turns some conference championship games that were complete snoozers into nail biters, because there's a playoff berth on the line.
Okay, let's get to the reality here, even though we don't know what's going to happen. What's more realistic, 8 or 12?
I don't know at this point. I still would lean toward 8. I'm not completely convinced that I could go for 12. It still feels kind of big to me. But I do understand where these guys are coming from. And I also understand that if you want to have an auto bid for the group of five, which I also think is good business, because you don't want to tell the fans of these 60-something schools, hey, you don't matter, your teams don't matter, you have no chance. If you give them that one shred of hope that if they are really good and they are the highest-ranked group of five team, they get in the playoff, I really feel like that engages everybody there. So that would probably make me lean toward 12 over 8, because if it's 8, I still think, you know, maybe they have a deal where the power five champs get in, but I have a hard time seeing them giving up those at large spots. If it's 12, you still get 6 at large spots. I think the power five is okay with that.
What happens to these very lucrative conference championship games?
Well, like I said, it depends on which lucrative conference championship game we're talking about, because,
well, I'm thinking
if it's
one
the Pac-12
particular
championship game. Okay. So let's look at the SEC championship game.
I don't really care
year.
About the. I don't care about the Pac-12. I care about the SEC.
I know, but the Pac-12 would actually the game would matter. You'd actually want to watch it. So the SEC championship game.
Okay. Well,
let's look at last year's game.
The SEC championship game with 8 or 12, self-explanatory. How much luster it loses.
Well, not really. I mean, if you're Florida last year going into that game, if you win that game, you're in the top four and you get a bye.
Andy, that means something. I mean, let's get realistic here.
Also, you win the SEC.
It's still not the game it was in 8 and 9 when it was a de facto national championship game. And Saban sat right here yesterday and talked about how that's often been a semifinal game. But if you add 8 or 12 and you've got two teams in the top four or five, I mean, what are they playing for?
The SEC championship. I believe that matters. Mm. I mean, I have an SEC championship ring. It's pretty nice. Like, that kind of matters. I still think people care about that.
Andy, we're not saying it doesn't matter. You lose a game and you're still playing the next time there are games.
I bet the SEC is going to get a lot more money for one of those SEC championship games than it got for the 1 in 8 or 9 or the 1 in 12. So I think it's probably still got the right amount of luster as long as the coins come in.
I also believe that deal's already been done, so it probably really won't matter.
No, but the next deal will be pretty valuable too. I don't imagine it goes down on the next deal, and that's really what we're talking about here, right? Because we're talking about luster.
Okay, so
we're talking about how much is a TV network willing to pay for.
When does this get done in your estimation? How far away are we from seeing something really happen?
If they're going to do it before this contract ends, and this contract ends following the 2025 season, it would be done in time for the 2023 season. That's when that next rotation starts. So that would be when you could do it, and you'd still have the bowls as the semifinal sites because they're part of the contract. I mean, I don't see how they would be willing to redo this contract without themselves in it. So I think ESPN would be willing to redo the contract. I think, obviously, the commissioners are talking about it, so they'd be willing to redo it. The bowls, I would say, would probably say, that's great, but we still want to be part of it. So I think that's probably how that would work. And if any of those parties says, no, we don't want to do it, then you probably don't see it until the 2026 season.
And if it is done earlier, just speculation here, of course, what happens to the bowl business?
It doesn't go away because people still want to watch football on TV. I mean, the Bad Boy Mowers Bowl still outrates a good non-conference regular season college basketball game on that night and you know, competes pretty well with some regular season NBA games. So there's still going to be money in it for networks like ESPN to put on bowl games. I would say that the best way to do the bowl system after this, and I think you'd still have bowls. I think that you'd still call them bowls. But I would, if I were the schools, just take more control of them. First of all, no school should ever pay an upfront ticket block. You should never have to pay a ticket guarantee again. Say, look, we are giving you the team, and you either take the team or don't, but we're not paying you upfront. And then I would say that the conferences themselves should make the matchups. Instead of just saying, you know, SEC number 4 is going to play Big Ten number 3, just every year make the most fun matchups you can make for television purposes. And then if people want to go to the various places where you put them, great. You know, try to maximize that too, because that's another revenue stream. But make the best television matchups you can, and people will watch the same people who are watching the Dollar General Bowl before are going to be watching it now, or the Bahamas Bowl. Now, there may be a few at the bottom that fall off, but I still think there's an appetite for football on television that's not going to change, and it's going to make it worth the money to throw those games.
Andy Staples with the latest on the future of the playoff. Andy, thank you. We appreciate it very much. We're heading to a break and more of your phone calls, your reaction to all of this. When we come back in the final hour, we'll talk about the draft. It is tomorrow night.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we're back. A lot of reaction coming in on what Andy said and what he reported earlier today. Mike is in Kentucky, and you are on the air. Hello, Mike.
Hey, thank you, Paul, for taking my call. I'm going to weigh in for the last time on college football expansion, Paul. You know, since the inception of the playoffs, I mean, what's it been, 6 years? There's been 12 first-round games. Three of those games have been competitive. All the others were blowouts. So what's a 1-versus-12 game going to look like, or a 2-versus-11 game going to look like? I want to watch competitive football, Paul. And it's just a fact of life that there are a chosen few, very few amount of teams in the country that are capable of winning a national championship. You know, this is not the NCAA tournament where a team that has, you know, a team that you've never heard of can get two good players and make a run. This is football. It's a completely different animal. So these, I mean, whoever's pushing this narrative of give the little guy a shot, the little guy has no shot, Paul. I mean, and that's just the facts of life. What do you think?
Yeah, and I mean, Andy looked at it from a fanatic football fan standpoint, which is fine. That's what we all are. But that's not being realistic. And the bowl system is going to be devastated. Yeah, people will watch the games, and they may be more than an NBA game, but that's not really saying anything on a random night. There's a lot of money invested in these games, sponsorship-wise, community-wise, and I have a hard time believing a lot of people are going to go to these games, number one, travel to these games, number 1A, and watch them, because they're really not that watchable now. And if you don't have, if you're not gambling on one of these early bowl games, you probably have something better to do on a pre-Christmas night than invest 4 hours in the whatever bowl.
The only way I can think of to make it fairer, and I don't even know if it's, I mean, I don't think it's, I'm not for it, but I mean, you know how much Alabama spends annually on football, right? North of $70 million, Paul. Do you think that? I mean, it's not all Nick Saban, okay?
No, I mean you're right.
The greatest.
In terms of getting everyone invested from the group of five, I don't buy that either. Do you think, if you're a Liberty fan or a Coastal fan, you're excited, but you're not beating your chest about beating Clemson or Alabama at the end of the year.
No, because, I mean, a school with a $10 million budget has no chance against a school that spends north of $70 million a year. It's an impossibility.
You're
100%
correct.
Realistic.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Paige is up next. Paige, good afternoon.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Paul. I think Mike is spot on. I think the other piece, it's going to continue to dilute the playoffs. You know, four is great. It gets you invested. 8-12 just makes it a longer slog of uncompetitive games. But now, on one end, they might as more quote unquote bowl period, because if you forget.
Yeah, for some reason, Paige, we're having a little hard time hearing you. But one other thing about the conference championship games, the SEC game is an event. But if the SEC game has number one this year, like say one Alabama versus four Georgia, and it's not going to make one bit of difference, it's an exhibition game, and I'm not diluting the SEC championship. That's critically important. But if you're Alabama and Georgia, you're thinking about getting to a national championship. Are fans going to go and spend money like they would normally when they know they still have 3 or 4 weeks to go? I mean, there's a trade-off for everything, and you can't add and expand and expect everything to remain the same.
Well, and the players, you know, the players in these, he's starting to leave and not
exactly
ready for the NFL. A bunch of selfish play. Well, they're going to get more selfish now.
Yeah, Paige, for some reason we are having a hard time hearing your cell phone, so I apologize. We're going to try to get reconnect with you in a minute. Let me check in with Ben, who is in Jacksonville. Hey, Ben.
How's it going, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just calling about a previous caller that said that the student athletes weren't getting their grant money. I went to school on my GI Bill, which is basically the same thing as a scholarship, and I got every penny of every grant that I got. That includes a Pell Grant. I don't know if maybe the schools do it a little different if you get that kind of money and they apply it to your tuition. But like I said, whenever I was going to school on basically what is a scholarship with a GI Bill, any grant money that I got was directly deposited into my bank account, and I got to use that as I saw fit. So just wanted to put that out there.
Well, I am glad that you did. Thank you very much. Nathan is up next. Thanks for the call, Ben. Nathan, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing really well. Thanks.
I appreciate you taking my call, and I understand the debate today is a lot, you know, regarding the increase in number of teams in the playoff. And my thought, you know, immediately goes to, and I know it's apples and oranges comparing, you know, solo sports with team sports, but, you know, everybody that loves sports loves the Masters. And you and I both know, you know, if we play golf, chances are probably not ever going to get to play Augusta National. But it doesn't take away from the viewership of the round. It doesn't take away from the viewership of the game of golf. And I think that it's one of those things where especially in today's society where everybody's getting participation trophies, if you don't go to a blue chip or a blue blood program, it's kind of expected you're not going to play in a national championship game. And not to take away from the schools that have done, you know, exceptionally well, it's just, I think whenever you look at it, you know, the Masters isn't going to have any less viewers next year because, you know, Nathan didn't make it to the cutoff or what have you, you know?
Well, it's interesting. The Masters fell off dramatically this year, and I think some of it had to do with Tiger, and it really wasn't all that competitive until the final couple of minutes. But, you know, fans do care about – fans watch event. They may start a sporting event. They may not finish it, though, if it's not competitive.
Right. And I love the way that Andy brought up, you know, the idea of Pasadena being the Omaha of college football. I love that. I think that's fantastic. And I'm a Louisiana native, grew up just north of New Orleans, and I know how important, you know, sporting events are in the city of New Orleans for tourism. But man, what better venue than the Rose Bowl for
well,
a championship?
Nathan, I would say this. I don't think that's going to happen. And you remember, Andy is a columnist and a talk show host, and you know, he is pushing what he believes. But I will be shocked if that game does not rotate for a specific reason. If you're in the SEC, you don't want to play the game every year in the Rose Bowl. That's not your territory. If you're in the ACC, you want the game to rotate. There's a lot of money at stake. And I remember when we were in, where were we a couple of years ago? Santa Clara. I said, why are we here? First of all, the weather was terrible, which, you know, wasn't the CFP's fault. It was about 35 degrees and raining. And nobody cared about the game. And they said it was part of a deal for the Pac-12 to give them something other than the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl is a universal site. But I will tell you, and this year it's going to be in Indianapolis, so I don't know what that's like. But to me, the best place for the college football championship is New Orleans. It's the most fan-friendly, and that's what this should be about. The Rose Bowl is absolutely the worst place in terms of an atmosphere because it's literally in the middle of nowhere. And there are a couple of really good hotels in Pasadena, but most of the fans are not going to be able to stay there. So the first time I covered the CFP, which was at the Rose Bowl, we stayed in Newport Beach. That's where they kept the media. For you folks in Southern California, you don't need me to do the math, but Newport Beach is about 70 miles from the Rose Bowl. I never saw the Rose Bowl until the day of the game. Now, the second time, you know, the second time I covered it, I was at the Rose Bowl every day for a week, but that was at ESPN then. I wasn't at a local market. But it really, the Rose Bowl is a great place. It's some place that every college football fan should go to. But it's really not functional because the atmosphere only on the day of the game is significant. Other than that, you really don't know where you are. You're in one of the largest areas population-wise in the world. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here, and we still have another 90 minutes. Marcus Spears at the top of the next hour. Your phone calls continue here at 855-242-7285. Kirby Smart dropped by earlier, and we talked to him about the playoff, as that seems to be the big topic today. Let's check out some more calls here. And Mike in Tennessee. Mike, thanks. Let me make sure I get this right. I hit the wrong button. There you go, Mike. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. First-time caller. Love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Just wanted to comment on the playoff, the four-team situation. So looking this year, it kind of downplayed a lot of the schools that didn't make the top four. I'm a Florida fan, as an example. So kids are opting out. The people that pay for the tickets, the fans, they're getting discouraged. So, I'm in favor of paying these athletes to play in the bowl games, because I think we'd keep some of them around. The team that Florida put on the field against Oklahoma truly wasn't our best team, as everyone knows. So I think going to 8 would be great, but I still think, as an SEC fan, and I know people are going to comment, but you know, the year Tebow in 09, as you know, they lost to Bama, but Florida ended up number 2 in the country, so the real playoff game was the SEC championship. And I'm concerned if we go to only 8, do we get a Georgia in there or a Florida or fill in the blank? Because, you know, Bama, obviously, that's a hard team to beat. We only lost by 6 this year, by the way. We're the closest team in the country to play Alabama. And so I'm concerned if the SEC is going to get, you know, rooked out of a spot if we only go to 8. And that's all I have. Again, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Let's continue with more conversation. Trey is in Tuscaloosa. Trey, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I got a couple questions, then I got something to say about the playoff. Paul, when everybody gets a trophy, how much is a trophy worth?
Not much.
Exactly. And, Paul, if we start going to 12 teams, the normal everyday fan cannot afford to go to 3 playoff games.
Yeah.
Can't afford to.
I have to tell you, I was surprised Andy was so open to it, but again, Andy was just throwing stuff up against the wall today. I think 12 is absurd.
We lose that everyday normal fan. It's going to turn into a corporate business.
12 is unnecessary. You don't need. There aren't 12 teams in the country that are worthy of playing for the national championship.
And there's another narrative that I think we need to get rid of. Conference champions cannot be automatic. If we're going to make them automatic, they can't have more than one loss. We don't need 2 and 3 loss conference champions in the playoffs. That's just not right. But you know, Paul, if we did 7 teams, I think 7 and 6 could do a play-in game, and then we'd have the 6 like, you know, what everybody else talks about. 3 play 6, play 4 or 5 on the campus or whatever you want to do. But that taking these games away from the everyday average normal fan that can't afford tickets to fly 3 times and the games.
Yeah, but Trey, you know, ridiculous. do you think the people that run college football have much consideration for those fans even now?
No, I don't. That's what I said. It's going to turn into even just the corporate elite is what it's going to turn into. And, you know, you're going to lose the everyday fan if you start doing that. But anyway, we got to get rid of that narrative.
Well, I think the real story here is that, and I'm glad to see it, the folks that run college football realize there's a problem. They may not acknowledge it. And we had Hancock on the other night, and he opened the door, but things are not going well. And I think people misunderstand that. Yeah, we're all going to watch college football. I've once said I would watch college football any day of the week, any time of the year. Having said that, let me ask you a question, Trey. Okay. College football has been on every weekend for the past 8 weeks. Have you watched it?
I have not.
I haven't either, and it's what I do for a living. I don't mean that disrespectfully toward all the young players who didn't play, weren't able to play in the fall, and are having championships now. They're doing good things, but I've covered spring football in my spring professional football early in my career, I went to training camp of a professional team in February, and it didn't end until the end of July. And then I turned around I saw a lot about how America cares about spring football, and by the end nobody cared.
Well, people are ready to get, you know, the sun's coming out, people are ready to get out, they don't want to sit around, you know, in the wintertime, and it's cold in certain places. It's even cold down here in Alabama sometimes, not
sure,
all the time, but you know, we like sitting around watching our football. There's not a lot of outdoor activity things to get out and do. But I'm afraid we keep doing this, we're going to lose the average fan. And I absolutely love my college football. But thank you for taking my call, and I hope you have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Yeah, when I covered pro football, it was the USFL. I remember the team I was covering played a game in Boston in mid to late April. I don't think it was even – I think it was at Boston University. That's how little this franchise cared about. And, I mean, there was absolutely nobody at the game. The press box was so small that and congested, I said – I had a couple of sections to myself on a predictably 45-degree nasty day in New England in the middle of April. We'll take a break. More phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. And Carter is up next. Good afternoon, Carter.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.
I had an interesting take on the playoff expansion, and one thing that I really have never heard talked about, and I feel like you have a lot of expertise in terms of, you know, what makes college football work, the operations of it, the conferences. And one thing COVID, I thought, showed us last year is that the conferences were able to have a little bit of schedule flexibility. We had the game, I guess it was BYU and Coastal, that was kind of scheduled in
right.
Season. So one of the things that I think sucks, kind of be frank, about the end of the college football year is you get to like conference championship week and some of the end of the season, and some of the teams are playing very meaningful games, take an Alabama, Georgia SEC championship, for example. I have other conferences, no offense to, you know, maybe who Clemson's played sometimes in the ACC, but you get a Clemson Pitt, that's not, you know, a quality game. So what do you think it would take about, A, if the college football looked at moving the bowl season to the beginning of the year, maybe bringing some winter sites up north, that better weather, kind of making it not an exhibition, the games count, but it's more at the beginning of the year when everybody's excited about their team, might be willing to travel to a site. And then at the same time, at the end of the year, maybe shortening the season by a game or two, but then having the college football committee expanding the playoffs by making regular season matchups start earlier. So you get a Cincinnati-Ohio State game matchup that's technically a playoff game, but it happens without having to add games at the end of the season. You get more meaningful football games, you get more conferences and schools kind of loving, you know, their matchups or thinking they're more interesting games on TV, but you're not just adding games and adding travel. What do you think?
Carter, it's doable. We know it's doable because we saw it happen, and it will never happen because I don't want to say it makes too much sense, but I just cannot imagine these leaders who are somewhat reluctant to change making it that much of a wild card. It's a fabulous idea, though.
Cool. Well, I just wanted to share. Appreciate the.
You would have gotten an A plus in my class for originality. Hey, thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
Cooper is up next in Missouri. Hey, Cooper. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering, for the Missouri football team, where do you think they stand in the SEC East?
I think better than maybe people think. I'm a big fan of Coach Drink, and we had Bruce Feldman on here, I think it was Monday, talking about the staff that he's put together, and it's a phenomenal staff. I think the schedule, we're looking at it right now, you know, your non-conference games are Central Michigan, Southeast Missouri State, North Texas, and at Boston College. That's a really weird game. But I frankly think Missouri can win all four of those games. And then, you know, can Missouri beat Tennessee at home? Yes. Can they win at Vanderbilt? Yes. Can they beat South Carolina at home? Yes. And then, you know, you have to negotiate and navigate at Kentucky. A&M at home, which I don't think they can win. At Georgia, I don't think they can win. And then Florida and Arkansas. I think there is a chance for a really good season. Now, things have to go well, and I think that Boston College game is critical. I just don't. That's a scary game because you just I'm not really afraid of Boston College, but you go on the road in a weird place and strange right. things can happen. But I think a really good season is possible and maybe a great season.
Do you think they have – is there still in question that they could make the SEC tournament or the SEC championship game?
I do not. I was trying to be as optimistic as I could, but I cannot be that optimistic.
Right, yeah. All right, well, thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thank you very much. But the fact that we're even talking about it shows you what a great job Coach Drink has done in a short period of time. Jim is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Jim.
Yes, Paul.
Hi there.
Seems like to me the biggest concern when picking these teams is who gets the fourth team. I think there was controversy this last year. Why not just add one more team and let four and five play it off to see who gets in the playoffs?
Well, Jim, it depends on where who your constituency is here. And remember, this is really about politics as it is about getting quality football, in spite of what they say. To get this group of people to agree to do something else, you're going to have to let other people in, and that's where I think we're going. So, in theory, your idea is good, it really is. But in practicality, it's unlikely to happen.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Thank you, appreciate it. Yeah, I mean there are a lot of great ideas, and maybe I'm harping too much on the politics of the room, but you have these are college administrators. They're like politicians. They give and they take. They horse trade. And to get somebody to vote for my side, I've got to give you something in return. And that's really what I think this is all about. And there's also money at stake. Marcus Spears. Not sure I remember that guy's name, but we'll see what he does for a living when he comes up here in a few minutes.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.